said Saturday night, that means it's time for the Don Doney Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. How's your weekend going? Don Tony here. Welcome to this edition of the Don Tony Show. It is January 22nd, 2022. We got a lot of stuff to get into tonight. You know, I don't know if you saw the video description area as far as some of the topics we're going to get into today. And, you know, I was rereading the back and forth that the Road Dogg, Brian James, had with some members of the internet wrestling community. Some basically, you know, keeping things in perspective, some being respectful, but Brian James was introduced to the radical left of the internet wrestling community in denial about NXT 2.0. Some who have to have NXT 2.0 fail. So all of their arguments, all of their agenda, all of their opinions and feelings that they pushed as news that has to come to fruition. And, you know, I have to say this before I get into anything else. And yes, we'll talk about Rampage. We'll talk about SmackDown, a few other news tidbits, but I thought about this literally before we went live. I'm not kidding. Could you imagine if the internet wrestling community, especially Twitter, could you imagine if Twitter was around in 1993 when WWF went in a completely different direction and realized we cannot depend on the Hogans, the Savage, the Pipers, the Flairs, you know, and others, that they had to start building the next generation, the new generation. I remember it. And it started as a pretty rocky, because this is 1993. It was showered with some pretty horrible gimmicks at that time. From MVP to the Berserker to, you know, whatever they did. Damian Demento. Yes, I didn't pretty much like it. The Goon. And others, but in the process, they built Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Mankind, you know, was pretty already well known as Cactus Jack and The Rock and Austin and everybody else. I mean, they built young stars of tomorrow. They took established people and turned them into megastars. Can you imagine if the internet wrestling community was around in 1993? They would have eaten up and spit out the new generation. Oh, my God. I was thinking about that right before we went live. Anyway, what's going on, everybody? Continuing on that thought about Brian James, and I want to just throw this out there right off the bat because I took the time to really look it up. Now, listen, I think Brian James told this WrestleVotes Twitter account the best way that they can answer it. Now, WrestleVotes put out an article, a tweet, or whatever you want to call it, and their exact words were, internally, WWE is said to be disappointed with NXT 2.0 in its first 4 months. Source said, they thought more fans would gravitate towards the newest stars quicker than they have. Could it just be too much, too fast? Either way, I don't expect any changes to the concept just yet. Now, if you follow the last couple of weeks, the ratings have gone down a little bit. Not too bad. It's lingering around 600,000, 550, which I think pretty much we all expected. But because there's a little decline in the last couple of weeks – you get nonsense like this. Now, if the ratings start creeping back up, you'll see the same article written in reverse. But of all the comments that Brian James responded to, and there were some people respectful and some people that weren't, but he said it so perfectly. He said that you got to look at it in a logical business standpoint. He says that people are mixing individual people's feelings with business. And that's what I've been saying to you for the last 5 months. That a lot of these people online, it's their individual feelings. And there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. If you hate NXT 2.0, that is your right. That is your prerogative. I will never force anybody to watch something they don't like. But when you take your individual feelings that you are so passionate about, that you believe are the right feelings, and then you try to portray it as news, that's where it gets dangerous. That's where it gets reckless. That's where it gets toxic. And when you don't get the outcome that you expected, you have to double down and triple down and quadruple down. And you're seeing a lot of people in the journalist community and the podcast community dealing with that right now. You know what's interesting about Brian James? He took the time yesterday to respond to some trolls, some very respectful people. And I'm not saying that WrestleVotes is disrespectful. I'm not shitting on them at all. But you're talking about one person, and that person's feelings can be totally different than what business is. Brian James was talking about how, look, I don't like change. A lot of people don't like change, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary. I watched people that are created this mountain that they have to now live on, that NXT 2.0 is a failure. And ripping Brian James, but in their own individual posts, they wouldn't dare confront Brian James directly. They don't talk to him. They talk at him. And that's what a lot of people do. They talk at people, but they don't talk to people. You know why? Because they don't want to run the risk of being schooled, of being owned, of being shown incorrect. There's a lot of fragile people online. And I'll close out this segment with this. Get ready, everybody. Get ready. Bron Breakker, Mandy Rose, Imperium, Gunther, Carmelo Hayes, Gigi Dolan, Cora Jade, JC Jane, Harland, Persia Perota, Karen Q, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, Legado del Fantasma, Dexter Lumis, Santos Escobar, Electra Lopez, Saray, Solo Sikoa, Grayson Waller, Tony D'Angelo, Trick Williams, Kushida, Ika Manjiro, Indy Hartwell, Zoe Stark, Ivy Nile, Io Shirai, The Creed Brothers, Casey Catanzaro, Kaylee Ray, Caden Carter, the Grizzled Young Veterans, maybe. I didn't even mention Cameron Grimes and LA Knight because they're more established. I didn't even mention Roderick Strong, Tommaso Ciampa, and Pete Dunne. I just gave you about 40 wrestlers that I think most of them, with the exception of maybe the Grizzled Young Veterans, their stock has gone up in the last 4 months. You take one source in WWE that isn't happy with change. Scott Taylor was not happy with change. The Road Dogg wasn't happy about change. Some people aren't happy, but they still understand why it needs to be done. I just read you 40 wrestlers, enough to start a pretty decent promotion. Even if you get 5 or 10 of these names 5 years from now, main eventing or semi-main eventing WWE shows, you're telling me that's a failure? I just gave you 40 wrestlers. Notice on the WrestleVotes, one person, they don't name names. Who of that list did the people need to gravitate more to? And I ask you this, which you know, but they're not going to give an answer. What do you mean by gravitate? The ratings would be a little higher. What actually means gravitate? That the merchandise that doesn't exist, you know, people would buy it? Like, you don't name names. You don't, it just sounds good. And you know there's an audience out there that love that. They see that written. You get one person in WWE that remains anonymous, if it's even true, and you're like, it's perceived as a failure. Really? Who do you tend to believe? A list of 40? Or some anonymous person who might not like the direction? There was a lot of people that did not like the direction in 1993. I think WWE, years later, did just fine. Just wanted to point it out. Look, if I'm going to challenge anybody's comments, I will always try to back it up with facts, not just the emotional, you know, diatribe. Everybody's like, yeah, you tell them. Anyway, shout out to Steve Joseph. Thank you for the 5 spot, my friend. Do I think Nia Jax will be in a Royal Rumble? And how is she doing a Royal Rumble? I don't know if she'll be in a Royal Rumble. I'd love to see a Nia Jax in the Royal Rumble. I think the only way that Nia Jax is in the Royal Rumble is if she remains. Because, you know, it's not, listen, I'm sure Nia Jax would love to hang out with her friends again and, you know, work the event. But, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster. After that one appearance, if it's going back home, you know, I don't know. I mean, that's very, very hard to understand. I can't understand it. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nia Jax has no interest in being in the Royal Rumble. But because of the releases and because of some names, and remember, she asked for some additional time off because of, you know, some mental health, and she still got released. I don't know if people, you know, that topic wants to be rehashed by WWE. So I'm not so sure as far as her being in the Royal Rumble. Steve Joseph, as far as Leo Rush, when I go like this after the show is over, there's a clip I posted from Thursday's episode, which I know is channel members only, but the audio version is open for everyone at DonTony.com. Check out what I talked about on Thursday about Leo Rush. It might have even been Wednesday Night Dynamite. I am going to update that situation on Wednesday once I get some more specific reasons. I know on the surface, you know, Leo Rush may be exiting AEW because of the New Year's Eve comment. Might be a little bit more than that. So you remember what I always say since 1997, I don't want to be first, I want to be right. So right now there's a lot of bits and pieces out there, but not the whole sentence. So, yeah, for those that don't know, Leo Rush is leaving AEW as of middle of February. There is no new deal. It was a one-year deal. I told you all for about 6 to 8 months that 2022 will be the year of the discussion about AEW contracts, and now some of it is going to sprout. Because some deals, 1 year or 2 years, are going to run out in the next couple of months. And look, you know, some people are going to be let go. And I truthfully believe, I really believe this, that almost everybody who is let go is going to be very professional about it. I don't expect controversy. You know, I know as much as people with these hashtag free Ali and everything like that, you know, it's very easy for us to tell Miro at the time what he should do with his career. Oh, you go to AEW, another WWE, you know, cast off. You know, it's easy for us to tell people what they should do and not do with their lives when they're married, when they have family, when they have bills, responsibility, houses, cars, debt. You know, it's very easy for us to tell them what they should do. And then, oh, free Ali. Free at last. And then if he gets the Jake Atlas treatment in AEW or the Jay Lethal treatment, or because 50, 100, 500, 1,000 people on social media, oh, he could headline any wrestling company. Well, I don't know any wrestling promotion out there other than AEW that's consistently having a couple of thousand people per show. So if he's not going to headline AEW, what is he going to do? Headline another wrestling promotion that draws 600? Is that going to be enough for him? Does he have to game? Does he have to cameo? Does he have to do it? You know, I'm in agreement with a lot of you out there that creatively it sucks that they're not taking up some of Ali's ideas. Some of it is fabulous. I love creativity. You should know that. But for us to tell him or anyone else what they should do with their livelihood, you know, if you don't want anybody to tell you what you should do with your livelihood, I don't think we should be telling other people what to do with their livelihood. So, all right. Shout out to Tommy D. Thank you very much, my friend. Sent over a 20 spot. He says he's at work. Going to try and catch the second half of the live stream. Have a good one, and lunch is on him tomorrow. And the emojis that don't show up like that for some reason. Much love, my friend. Thank you very much. So, you know, I originally was going to open up with this because I think they deserve it. You know, props to Impact Wrestling. Seriously, props to Impact Wrestling. And it's a shame they're not getting more of this compliment. Because, yes, they are still very, very tiny in the ratings department. There's no question about it. But when you see momentum building and you see something starting to work, I got news for you. I think a lot of people out there would love to be part of something in its infancy and watching it grow and grow and grow and grow and develop into something beautiful. Now, we don't work for Impact Wrestling, but as fans, you know, we should appreciate it sometimes. I brought it up last week. Last week, Impact Wrestling was the only promotion for the entire 7 days that went up in ratings. Everything else went down. Nobody mentions it. When you think about the thousands of people online that put every little thing about demos and everything else under a microscope, they couldn't care less. Give a little props to Impact Wrestling. For all the people that are working there, in front of the camera, behind the camera, hey, you know, of all the promotions, Impact was the only one to go up in the ratings. And not just 1%, it went up like 15%, no mention at all. We were the only people that did. So I took notice of this also. Not only has Impact Wrestling gone up in the rating for 5 straight weeks, but in those 5 weeks, Impact's rating has gone up 60%. 60. Without AEW, without the Kenny Omegas, the Christian Cage, this is Impact focusing on Impact. They kept their roster thin. Ring of Honor is pretty much just a name only. And they had room to bring in, do you bring in a Braun Strowman and spend crazy cash for a 6-month deal? Or do you sign 5 or 6 smaller names like a faction and it looks like a little invasion? They chose that. They're doing pretty good with it. And props to them. In the last 5 weeks, their ratings have gone from this, actually the last 6 weeks, because we got to count the 6th week to show the increase. On December 23rd, before Christmas, they had 71,000 viewers. Since then, they went to 79, 82, 104, 111, 126. Props to Impact Wrestling. They can keep that. Look, not every week is going to be perfect. It's not going to go up. But if they can keep that trend going, that's good, man. That's good. That's a good thing. Impact deserves a little bit of props. And it's a shame to see so many people not doing it. So, Philip Maffey, I will get into your super chat in a little bit when we talk about SmackDown with the Royal Rumble. Actually, no, we can talk about it now. Do I see anyone making a surprise return to the Royal Rumble? Well, on SmackDown, we did have an appearance from Jeff Jarrett. I think Jeff Jarrett could very well enter the Royal Rumble. You know, we got 2K22 coming out soon in March, and NWO is going to be a nice little special feature in that video game. I would not be surprised if we have maybe Kevin Nash in the Royal Rumble. Kevin Nash is in phenomenal shape. He's doing a little bit of spots on the indie circuit. I could see Kevin Nash, absolutely. You know, we already had that discussion, which is a long shot. It's a long shot because you got to remember, it changes the landscape of the women's division in WWE. It changes the landscape. But if Ronda Rousey were to return, I mean, that really changes everything. Now, I'm still going with Bianca Belair to be the favorite to win the Royal Rumble. And if she does not win the Royal Rumble, we still don't know if the women are going to have a match inside the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. We've had that discussion. No one else has talked about that yet, but we've already tackled it. So if they do some other type of tournament or, you know, any something in Saudi Arabia, if Bianca doesn't win the Royal Rumble, she's winning whatever tournament, whatever happens in Saudi Arabia. She's getting a title shot at WrestleMania. What happened at SummerSlam, you know, yeah, we don't have to relive that. It's very disappointing. But Bianca Belair, they are going to make good for it. And having a second big WrestleMania moment, getting the Royal Rumble on top of it, or she's getting a moment, a big moment. So the big question is Rumble or Chamber? And if Ronda Rousey returns, man, that turns everything upside down. But I also believe Ronda Rousey will, if again, this is a long shot, but if I would see SmackDown more than anything else. You know, remember that infamous fight that she had with Charlotte? Remember those Singapore canes to the face? Jesus. I think people would love, especially if Sasha's not ready to return. I mean, I think Sasha will be back for Mania. But, you know, not, it's not guaranteed. So it's going to be really interesting to see what goes down. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But thank you very much, Phil, for that super chat. Now, I want to comment about something else. And, you know, I realize being uber nice, insulting, but being nice, insulting, I think sometimes you have to just fight fire with fire. And, you know, I tried, and it was true, I tried to point out, and I think I was too nice in my tweet, that, you know, criticizing Summer Rae and putting her down on social media because WWE called her a legend yesterday on SmackDown. You know, if you take note of the people that were really, really loud about it, you saw a common denominator that about 90 to 95% of them do not have a significant other. It's not just men, it's women also. And you notice the, almost everybody that, you know, had to rub it in her face. You're not a legend. You're not a legend. You're not a legend. You know, who would want to date or be involved with somebody like that? You know, social media, it's supposed to be an extension of who we are. It's not supposed to be a release that here, you know, look, I'm a really nice person. Social media is where I let my stress out and I could be a total asshole. I'm not really an asshole, but I just, you know, do it. It's just a release. Don't take it personal. Let me just say it as the old Don Tony would say it. If you went out of your way to tell Summer Rae that she is not a legend, you are a dick. You are an asshole. I want some of you out there to post pictures of you hanging out with your ugly mothers. Your ugly mothers that you think is beautiful, that you think is gorgeous, you think is the world. And then I want people to tell you to your face, what are you, nuts? She's ugly. She looks like the inside of my asshole. I want some of you out there to post pictures of you on a prom date, on a regular date, with a guy, with a girl, whatever you want. Isn't she gorgeous? Isn't he gorgeous? And I want people to say, what are you fucking kidding me? You know, sometimes, you know, even if we disagree about something, you know, you keep quiet. If you don't have something good to say, don't say it. And the fact that I saw, she trended yesterday because people, for social media status, they had to write all these things about how she's not a legend. Hundreds and hundreds of likes. Do you feel good? Just for status, you had to be a dick. So, Summer Rae yesterday.
I am seeing so many complaints that WWE called me a legend tonight. I don't make the rules, y'all. They said what they said.
Do I think Summer Rae is a legend? I'll answer it with Lance Storm's tweet. Lance Storm said that legend is just the WWE label. When you're signed with the company, you're a WWE superstar. That has nothing to do with your actual star status. That's what they label you. If you're an ex-WWE superstar that comes back for a short-term appearance, you are labeled a legend. Lance Storm is not saying if she's truly a legend or not. He's basically explaining it's a WWE term. Do I think Summer Rae in our territory considered a legend? I'll answer me. I'll answer it like this. I go back to the Legends of Wrestling video game. We talked about it on Thursday. Remember? We talked about video games and we got into the wrestling stuff. You go back and you look at the Legends of Wrestling video game. Every wrestler pretty much was a Hall of Famer. Is Goldberg a WWE legend? Is Barry Horowitz a WWE legend? You know, you may feel that Summer Rae is not a legend. And if you want to compare it to the Legends of Wrestling, no, Summer Rae is not a legend. I'm not saying that she is. My point is, what do I benefit? I mean, that I have to go out of my way to tell the world and to tell her, Summer Rae, you're not a legend. She ain't a legend. And then people go out of their way to post memes and GIF files and other stuff. For what? For a couple of hundred likes? So anybody that went out of their way yesterday to put this woman down simply because WWE called her that, you're a dick. You're a dick. If I was someone else, I wouldn't want to date you. I wouldn't want to be associated with someone that is that petty that you have to run. What are you, fucking 12 years old? That you got to run on social media? You're not a legend. You're not a legend. Good for Summer Rae posting this on her social media. She's running with it. She's doing this to all of you out there. Horrible. Horrible. Awful. Everybody that did that yesterday. Look, I know some of my friends did it too. I'm just giving you my opinion. You know, what are we, fucking 12? You know, sometimes it's something called being classy. You know, some being classy. You got a good friend. Hey, everybody, I met this girl last night. Or I met this guy last night. Oh, my God, he's amazing. We not clicked it. We just hit it off. We had conversation all night long, and he's cute, she's cute. And then you show a picture, and the person's like this. Are you going to turn around to your good friend and say, oh, that's nice. Good for you, man. Or are you going to turn around and say, are you fucking nuts? The hell is that? What the hell is this? Stay classy, everybody. Stay classy. Stay classy. All right. By the way, put up another retro episode. I know we played a clip of it on a Thursday episode a couple of months ago, but a lot of you out there DMing and emailing me over the last couple of months always wanted to hear it in its entirety. The original Mass Maniac show, hosted by the Mass Maniac with yours truly, interviewing New Jack and Axl Rotten, God rest their souls, from May 15, 2007. It is online. I posted it earlier today. You know, I didn't even realize it. That episode just happened to be the day that RVD was released, that Sabu was released, that Big Vito and others were released. So I didn't even realize it. So if you want to go check out that episode, funniest episode I've ever been a part of. Another little treat tonight, and I personally think we'll wait till the end of the show to play it. Someone, you know, I get a lot of emails, I get a lot of DMs, ideas, things they'd like to see on the shows, clips, questions. You know, it's 25 years of yours truly. And John from Staten Island sent me an email. And he said, what is the worst wrestling conversation, wrestling discussion you have ever had on your shows, your hotlines? Now, look, there's the infamous night I had the falling out with Joey 924. There was some heated exchanges over the years once in a while with other people. That's not, I think, what he was talking about. He's talking about, like, just a worse conversation. And I was like, man, I never in a million years ever thought about thinking of the worst, but there is one, and I got it tonight. And when I say it is brutal, it is awful. If I was checking out my old show for the first time, I would have turned it off and never ever go to this show ever again. So later on tonight, I don't want to brutalize anybody right now, but I have 15 minutes of audio that I could honestly say, going back to the hotlines, going back to the Minority Report, DTKC, it couldn't be Breakfast with Blasi, that was a solo show, but as far as a conversation, what I share with you later is the worst of the worst. I mean, I just remember that week getting feedback, this is awful. So I will share it with you later on. I don't want to do it now and upset anybody. Guardian of Chaos, have I ever dealt with Dave Prazak? Honestly, no, I don't believe I ever did. I don't think our paths ever crossed. So to be honest with you, I don't. Fernando, you know, look, blah, blah, blah. I love doing that as well. But, you know, the Q&As, even like Thursdays now, that's pretty much what blah, blah, blah is. And I like doing it in real time, because we have some conversation, instant reactions. You know, look, I have done a lot of episodes. Look, I originally did a Q&A where people would send in their questions. And not everybody wants to type their question and have it answered later on. They want to interact live. You know, and then you get some people, with all due respect, that take advantage of it, that'll send you 15 questions. And if you don't answer all 15, they get very, very upset at it. So I like doing it live. So, and the Breakfast with Blasi's, I mean, you know, it's evolved. It's pretty much, you know, what we do now is hybrid in a lot of ways. So, but don't get me wrong, I love those episodes. I will start putting Breakfast with Blasi episodes back up. I just, you know, I have to go through them and make sure that everything is appropriate for 2021. Might have to use the sensor a couple of times. I know some of you hate that, but it's necessary, especially that I'm involved with a network now. You know, I got to have some standards and practices. It's only fair. So, all right. I don't want to cause any controversy. I really would love your honest opinions on this. I'm not accusing AEW of anything. I swear to you, I'm not. You can post it in the chat room for those live, because everybody on the replay will see what you're saying. Not going to get in trouble. There is no wrong answer here. in the comment section after the show is over, please feel free to write also so I could see it, so others could see it. I want to ask you an honest question. Not trying to be controversial. Not going to use it as a clickbait in the title, because I could and definitely get some people that will tune in just to hear what am I trying to claim. I'm not going to do that. Here's what I want to ask you all, seriously. We remember when Taz said about WWE with COVID, we don't run a sloppy shop. Now, it was catchy. It was funny. There was still some unknown at the time. And unfortunately, I think deep down inside, I think Taz might have regretted saying that, because, you know, it's a very reckless thing, because people out there that despise WWE will just use that as a reason to put that. Look, when Roman Reigns got COVID, remember OSHA? You remember when I explained the OSHA guidelines with COVID and I said WWE is following OSHA to the T and everybody else was reporting that WWE is no longer testing their employees? And right away, sloppy shop, sloppy shop, sloppy shop, sloppy shop. And most of those people, I'm sure they don't regret it, but most of them were wrong. If you understood what the OSHA guidelines were, you realize WWE did everything the right way. So now I ask you this. Should AEW deserve any criticism for something this week? Again, I'm not saying that they should or shouldn't. I'm just throwing this out there. I want you to answer it. And please, you know, don't answer it no because you love AEW. Don't answer it yes because you hate AEW. Just be honest. Like I said, I really believe there's a lot of people within AEW that do respect people more that are straight up honest with what they say without agenda. There's a lot of people out there. You see the agenda. You see, you know, just that over the top. And believe me, I think that rubs, it gets into creepy level with AEW looking at that. So I ask you this. Would you consider AEW a little bit of running a sloppy shop this past week? I'll tell you why. Unless the only way this might not be applicable is if Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta recorded their little interview clip the week before. For those that don't know what I'm talking about, on Wednesday, on Dynamite, we had a backstage segment where Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero talking about Roppongi Vice. Roppongi Vice is going to reform. They're challenging the Young Bucks for Rampage 2 days later. Fernando says that I run a sloppy shop. I probably do. I do. I mean, I admit it. I haven't gotten COVID yet, so I kind of do well there. But yeah, I probably run the sloppy shop. But I ask you, seriously, be serious for a minute. Just throwing it out there. Wednesday on Dynamite, Rocky Romero and Trent are doing a segment on TV challenging the Young Bucks for Friday. Rampage, 2 days later. Thursday afternoon, Rocky Romero goes on Twitter and says, sorry, everyone, going to have to push back the Roppongi Vice reunion. COVID got me. Currently, I'm feeling some mild symptoms, very mild symptoms. I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted, so I should kick right out of this. Should. It's not a guarantee. Should. Experiencing some mild symptoms. Okay. That was Thursday. 1 day after we saw that segment on TV. If that segment was recorded Wednesday afternoon. When you get Omicron, it takes 1 to 2 days for you to feel symptoms. So you can have it and not realize it yet. And you could possibly be spreading it. So my question to you is this. Since he tested positive for COVID on Thursday, which means he would have gotten it Monday, Tuesday, around there. Should Trent have been pulled off of Rampage since it was a live show? And should Trent have quarantined for a couple of days? What do you all think? Again, I'm not trying to cause controversy here, but since February of 2020, anybody that's followed these shows know we pay very, very, very close attention of everything COVID. Everything. And I ask you this question. If Rocky Romero tested positive on Thursday, should Trent have quarantined for at least a day or two, 3 days, to make sure that he didn't have it? He wrestled on Rampage. What do you all think? Seriously. I mean, post it in the comment section. Again, there's no wrong answer here. Whatever side you take, there is no wrong answer. But I want to throw it out there because you know for a fact that if somebody tested positive for COVID on the WWE side and then that person who was involved with someone the day before wrestled the next day, you know there would be a boatload of people online pulling that. You look at Roman Reigns. Okay, Roman Reigns tested positive on that Sunday, but SmackDown didn't happen until 4 days later, 5 days later. Actually, it was a Saturday, so almost 6 days later. When Seth Rollins tested positive for COVID, there were several days between him and anybody that he was involved with. So I ask you that question. Should Trent have wrestled on Rampage? Throwing it out there. Oh, Keith got the Gargano plaque. Good. I'm glad you did. So, all right. So let's talk quickly about Rampage. You know, we don't spend 20 minutes on Rampage or SmackDown. You know, you saw the shows, and if you didn't, I just give you my overall thoughts. If you decide you want to watch it, go right ahead. Rampage, fun show. We'll talk about Moxley last because it's definitely the big topic of discussion right now. And to the person who wrote early on tonight, haven't we seen Moxley and Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, interact with each other before? Hold that thought. First off, we'll go in the middle, Hook over Serpentico in 90 seconds. You know, Serpentico with the streamers, Hook ain't having none of that. Basically, clotheslines, knocks Serpentico on his ass, you know, throws him around a little bit, red rum, 1, 2, 3. Hook is walking to the back. Who dat? Gets on the mic, talking like a dick. And he basically suplexes who dat and just walks all over his body and goes to the back. Look, Hook has wrestled a total of what, 7 minutes? 8 minutes so far? I mean, you think of the amount of matches he's had and the length of the matches. I don't know if he's wrestled 10 minutes yet on TV. What they've done so far has been excellent. No need to change it. Little by little, they're going to have to advance it to someone higher up, someone where you really can't determine the winner. But so far, people are loving it. You don't try to fix what's not broken. So, fun little match. Fun little match. I'm not going to complain about it whatsoever. Trent beating Nick Jackson. Fun little match. You know, you had best friends on the rampway. Remember what I said? And you got to think about it now with AEW. With one thing you have to criticize the crap out of them is storyline delays. And it happens all the time. Now do you see a little bit of jealousy with Trent and Willa Yuta? You remember about 2 or 3 months ago when I said when Trent returns, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Willa Yuta? Because Willa Yuta showed up as a best friend It was like the season of Family Ties that we came back and suddenly there's this little fucking blonde prick on the show. Or I don't know, the Brady Bunch when Oliver showed up. You know, like what's this? So now with Trent back, you know, Willie Utah, you know, Willie Utah. I still remember everyone online that was like, how could WWE pass up Willie Utah? Look at this guy's talent. You know, I mean, I don't see, that's why, like I say, you may feel that way about him, Jake Atlas, Ali, anyone else, but it's got to translate into usage on TV. If Willie Utah, nothing against him, but if he never wrestled an AEW match again, would anybody lose sleep? No. Let's be honest. So, Jade Cargill and Anna Jay. And look, I included myself on here as a naysayer. Now, I didn't tweet about it yesterday, but I'm going to be honest with all of you. When I found out yesterday that Anna Jay and Jade Cargill was going to main event Rampage, even if Rampage is a small show, I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, especially after what we saw with Mox and Bryan Danielson, that would have been an interesting way to go off the air. But I was like, okay, you know, Jade, not ready for prime time overall. But, you know, I didn't think that the match was going to be that good. They wrestled almost 9 minutes. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't. But Jade impressed me more than pretty much anything I've seen so far. A lot of the dark and elevation stuff was mostly squash. But this match, maybe some people feel it went too long. But even Anna Jay, you know, check this out. I don't remember if it was Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but you know about the heavy AEW, you know, influence on the awards because WWE was not going to acknowledge the awards, not going to take pictures holding it for the most part. Yeah, AEW is going to get the most, I mean, Pro Wrestling Illustrated was going to get the most exposure by giving awards to AEW. That's the truth. If you go back a year, if I remember correctly, Anna Jay might have been like number two or number three as far as rookie of the year or something. Anna Jay's name was like number two on one of these awards. And I was like, whoa. You know, looking back a year ago, I'm like, wow, pretty interesting. She backed it up yesterday. Even though I didn't say it publicly, I was a naysayer. Just like a lot of other people yesterday. You know, most people tweeted and deleted after they saw that match. So, pretend like you didn't see what I wrote early. That's what a lot of people did yesterday. I will say this, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about this. Jade Cargill is supposed to be, you know, I don't want to just say heel, but a polarizing heel. And it almost feels like, it's not a black thing, believe me, it's not a black thing, but it almost feels like that she wins the match, the bitch show wins the match, you know. See, she says that bitch show, big mistake. Maybe she has said the bitch show. If you say it fast, it sounds like the big show. I would just always call it the bitch show. It's the big bitch show. It's the bitch show. But they always flash the camera to a daughter. And it almost feels like you want to curse. You want to yell as a heel, not trying to personal attacks. And right before you could say something nasty for her being a heel, they show you her daughter. You liar! You know, like, I don't know. I don't know if anybody feels that way. I mean, I have no urge to, like, put her down or curse her out. I just feel, you know, it was a very interesting move. You know, especially when you do the storyline, Jade Cargill issues an open challenge. Oh, Thunder Rosa was in the back. You know, she was working out. You know, Ruby was doing playing with makeup, listening to music. She didn't hear the announcement. She had her earbuds on. You look at all, like, the upper echelon of talent. Anna Jay answers the challenge. Who's going to answer the challenge next? Lisa Smith. So that kind of rubbed people the wrong way because, look, you know, you would think if you're going to make an open challenge, obviously the people that were in this tournament that really want it bad, you would think that one of them, common sense storyline, they would answer the challenge. But that hasn't happened yet. It's only one match. It's only one match. But it's almost like, okay, before anybody could say anything, let's throw the kid on TV. So now you look like an uber asshole, you know, if you, you know, rip the mom. Just throwing it out there. All right. Last but not least, John Moxley versus Ethan Page. Fun match. I think people expected it to end much quicker. I don't think people expected a 10-minute match to come out of it. Moxley with the bulldog choke. Ethan Page taps out. After the match is over, Ethan Page tries to get a little revenge, gets a paradigm shift for his troubles. Okay, great match. Moxley is in much better shape than before. But the big news is Moxley, as he celebrates, he goes to the back. And as he is exiting, Bryan Danielson shows up. It's all you had to do. It's all you had to do. Bryan Danielson moves away from the heavyweight world title picture. Moxley, not in the title picture right now. Just a smug. Everybody wants to see it at Revolution. Now, sure, everybody would like to see it beforehand. And who knows, that could happen. But to the person who said earlier, I'm not ripping you. To the person who said earlier, oh, we've seen them before. Yeah, I saw Rey Mysterio and Hoovy in AAA. I saw Dean Malenko and Eddie Guerrero in ECW. I saw Cactus Jack, Terry Funk in FMW. We saw Hogan and some of his foes in WWF. We saw it in AEWA. You know, not everything was originated in WWF. My point is, just because we've seen it somewhere else doesn't mean we're going to see the same thing now. You look at Bryan Danielson and the work that he did for the second half of 2021. And look, the people that were saying it after 3-4 matches, 5 matches, especially when most of them were Dark Order members, you know, I think it was a little over the top. But when you got past the 2 Hangman Page matches, when people were, look, I said it. Right now, Bryan Danielson is my favorite AEW wrestler. He is, when I use the phrase balls out, for years and years and years, Bryan Danielson right now is balls out, giving 180% in these matches. And AEW is giving him the time. There's no gaga. So when you think about Moxley unleashed, you think about Bryan Danielson, not Daniel Bryan. There's, with all due respect, there's no filter to reel them in. What you may see is going to look nothing like you saw in WWE. Look at some of the Sting stuff. Now, granted, there's a lot of people out there that didn't see Sting and Abyss or some of Sting's work in TNA. So, you know, people are like, I've never seen Sting go through a table before. Oh, Well, you know, there's a little more to that. But at 62, my God, I want to do that at 52, you know? So Moxley versus, put it this way, this is not Daniel Bryan versus Dean Ambrose. This is John Moxley versus Bryan Danielson. And the excitement of these two, uncaged, unhinged, not held back, could turn into something beyond memorable. So I am freaking really, really looking forward. And I'll say this too. I'll say this too. If you see me writing, because I'm just doing timestamps, I do have the lady inside. I have not eaten dinner yet. So we're going to wrap this up in about 20, 25 minutes. So I could get this online, eat some dinner, and spend some quality time. Even though AEW is still new, only around a couple of years, they know damn well what they're doing and the social media impact from it. Just like WWE with Mickie James. WWE knew damn well that if they name drop Impact Wrestling Knockouts champion, as Pat McAfee name dropped it, they knew that it would be trending in 2 minutes. Look, Seth Rollins yesterday, instead of calling him Dean Ambrose, actually said Mox. And that fucking trended. Oh my God, he said Mox! You know, yeah, you can use other names and nicknames. Unfortunately, you know, when Brody passed, you know, a lot of WWE stars were calling him Brody instead of Luke. They weren't even calling him John in some cases. You know, Brody Lee was never a character name in WWE. But you see, picks catches fire almost immediately. So when you have Bryan Danielson and Moxley cross paths yesterday, they knew that was going to light up the net and get it a buzz. So good, good. I hope it happens at Revolution. Be nice to see a 5-week build. What's good about it is Moxley has no, there is no Moxley family office. There is no Moxley order. You know, there's no click that Bryan Danielson has to go through different people to get to Moxley and vice versa. So this could be something huge. Will they wait until Revolution is really the question right now. Philip Maffey, thank you for the 5-spot, my friend. Could I see anyone from AEW make a surprise return in the WWE Royal Rumble next week? No. I've been saying that since day one. It's not happening. You know, people trying to tease it, their titles on YouTube especially, and it's not happening. Period. Never crossed my mind. Just like this Royal Rumble list that's floating around the net, I had a few people DM me. One or two online also. Hey, did you see the list floating around? I said, yeah. I said, that's as real as the Easter Bunny putting money under my pillow while Mrs. Claus is baking cookies and blowing me. You know, we could fantasize. There's nothing wrong with that. We could fantasize. Oh my God, could you imagine if Moxley was in the Rumble, if CM Punk was in the Rumble, if Britt Baker was in the Women's Rumble? You know, yeah, we can fantasize. Sure we can. But if you're asking me realistically, no shot. No shot. No shot. Joe Burke with the 5-spot. Why does AEW have the worst hair and makeup? It looks way more amateur than it should. WWE has great hair and makeup for obvious reasons. Well, I could give you a very easy answer with that. And I've said this for a couple of years now. WWE is about presentation and storyline, and creativity, episodic TV. AEW is about in-ring more than anything else. So their perception is the work rate, the violence, the blood. So they do pull back. Some do have pyro and extravagant entrances. Look at Cody. But yeah, no, WWE is about spectacle. That's always been the case. And honestly, that works for AEW. Because, you know, for people out there that think that AEW is pulling these crazy profits, they're not. And to waste unnecessary funds just to have extra this, a little this, you know, make this look, you know, it's not the case. You know, so no, it's always been presentation with WWE. Always. I mean, just aesthetically, it looks more professional. It looks more extravagant. That was WWE is all about. AEW is more raw. It's more, you know, roughshod. Yeah, I have no problem with AEW in the presentation. I feel, you know, Cody's entrance is a little over the top. But again, as I always say, the guy works as hard as he can. You're going to have to deal with a little bit of ego, period. And if that feeds, you know, that's his reward a little extra, I don't lose sleep over it. Happy anniversary, SoFly, 1 year as a channel member. I can't believe it's been a year with this stuff. I got to update the video for the channel members. But happy anniversary, my friend. 12 months. Pretty awesome, man. Pretty awesome. Okay. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about SmackDown. Fun show yesterday. For me, SmackDown was about the beginning and the end. The middle stuff, Big E showing up on SmackDown, now batting for Xavier Woods, number E, Big E. That's what it is. You remember back when Drew McIntyre and Jeff Hardy was supposed to feud with King Corbin, Baron Corbin, and Madcap Moss? Jeff left. Drew got injured. So now they were going to have the New Day. King Woods, Sir Kofi, versus Moss and Corbin. And Xavier gets hurt. So now Big E comes in to assist. It's only temporary. Look how Big E has fallen. Temporary. I'm a little surprised at the insistence of WWE pushing Corbin and Moss in this. I'm not saying that Moss is not talented. But to me, Moss and Corbin is WWE's 2.0. And 2.0 is AEW's Moss and Corbin. I know the characters are totally different, but two guys that we just say to ourselves, we're not saying they're not talented in some ways, but two guys on each show that we just were like, why are they on Dynamite so much? We don't get Jay Leto and others. Why are they doing that? Same thing with SmackDown. I got to do this head because this is going to start. Why are they doing this much with Moss and Corbin? My God, did they see something controversial in the back that they're blackmailing creative? John Laurinaitis. Hey, Baron. Johnny Ace. I can't do his impersonation unless I hear it. This is Johnny Ace. Oh, remember this? Hey, just wanted to see how you were doing. Go Bengals. Yes, Sean, we talked about it Thursday. Sami Zayn staying in WWE. Good. Good. As I've said, this is not a knock on AEW. There are some people who love to get physical in the ring. You know, for the little crap that I did on doing indie stuff, I miss it dearly. I would love to be able to get a little physical again. It ain't happening. Can't do it on myself. But some wrestlers love to get uber physical in the ring. Some people love to be performers, to, you know, do skits, segments, wrestle, little combination thereof. You know, it's not just one stop that everybody, you know, wants to do the AEW way or the Ring of Honor way or this or that. No, some wrestlers do want to be sports entertainers. Sami Zayn is a great talent, one of the best in the ring, outside the ring, is having fun, is getting paid well, has a little bit of job security. You know, say what you want about the WWE releases. I know we all talk about creative screwing up in a lot of ways, but we never talk about creative when it does work. Like the New Day, like Kevin Owens, like Sami Zayn, like Seth Rollins and his Sinet. I mean, you know, some wrestlers it does work for. And he's staying. And that's a good thing. Now, yesterday we had a funny segment. And they're pushing the Johnny Knoxville stuff a little bit further. More and more I see this now, the more and more I'm convinced Sami Zayn will eliminate Johnny Knoxville. I don't think it's going to be the opposite, unless they're trying to lead to a match between Sammy and Johnny Knoxville, and I don't think we want to see that. But they did a stupid skit yesterday. Johnny Knoxville, before he did Jackass, would do a video where he would test out certain like self-defense weapons. So Sami Zayn is going to do it, and he's doing like the stun gun thing. And look, WWE's going to exaggerate it because they don't want any kids at home to start, hey, you know, daddy has a stun gun, let me try it. But it's over-exaggerated. It's over the top. Johnny Knoxville, he grabs the weapon. Oh, you have it turned off. And he supposedly zaps Sami Zayn with it, throws him over the top rope. I will tell you, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. I'm surprised. I'm very surprised how much Johnny Knoxville is over with the fans. Again, WWE's rated PG. AEW's rated TV-14. It blows my mind. Everybody that is obsessed with demos never bring up the fact that the AEW programming is not suitable for kids and preteens. You know, so I'm surprised at the level of popularity that Knoxville gets in some of this storyline that we get. Sheamus over Ricochet in 3 minutes. No, nothing really there. Jeff Jarrett backstage with Boogs and Nakamura. I think this is just to, you know, show a legend. Royal Rumble appearance possible. You know, get a little rub to Rick Boogs because Rick plays the guitar. Eric Bischoff showing up once again. The Naomi Sonya Deville storyline needs to end. I know some of you talked about WrestleMania. WrestleMania is still, what, 6 weeks away? A little more than five weeks away. It's coming here quicker than we thought. No, what am I saying? It's 9 weeks away. Ain't no way this storyline is going to WrestleMania. You know what was so stupid yesterday? Charlotte versus Naomi. Contenders match, not title. Sonya tells Charles Robinson, no, I'm the referee. And we get the dumb antics once again. Naomi's, you know, distracted with Sonya. Charlotte hits a finisher. Naomi loses. What was so stupid about yesterday, and I know a lot of you out there probably picked up on it immediately, is after all of that, Bischoff is in the back with Adam Pearce and Sonya shows up. And Adam Pearce is like, look, what you did to Naomi is unacceptable. This must end. And my first reaction was the same reaction a lot of you had. Adam Pearce in storyline. Nothing else that's been going on the last couple of months has been totally unacceptable and it must end. After months of this garbage, Sonya, this is totally unacceptable. This must end. What the fuck about last week, the week before, 2 weeks before, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago? It's a storyline that... How do you not have a conclusion? It's almost like it's almost like Veer. It's like the opposite of Veer. We'll put him on TV. We don't know what the fuck we're going to do. We'll tease something, but we don't know exactly yet. So we'll just tease it and tease it and tease it and tease it and tease it. It's awful. Absolutely awful. The Viking Raiders over Los Lotharios in 2 minutes. Aaliyah over Natty by DQ. We get Xia Li's return. Does the same thing from a couple of weeks ago. Natty gets DQ'd. Doesn't want to break a hold. The referee calls for the bell. She still doesn't want to break the hold on Aaliyah, so Xia comes out. I'll tell you the truth. I love Xia Li. Anybody who follows me, going back to NXT, though that period of 7-8 weeks that she wasn't on TV. I think we were the only show that after 2 weeks, we're like, wait, what happened? All the momentum. Why is she off TV? Then we had 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, every week, like we did with Leah Rush. When it got to 3 weeks, that third week with Leah Rush, we're like, hey, what's going on? That was only 21 days. Then you got 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7 weeks. People finally caught notice, just like the Jay Lethal stuff. But I got to be honest with you. You go back and you watch Xia Li's entrance yesterday. If I'm sitting along the rampway and Xia Li was like, yeah, yeah. Like if she caught eyes with me and actually looked at me and went, I would burst out laughing. I would have been like, it's funny because as she's doing these spots, she's looking at fans on the rampway. She's like, yeah. Wah! 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 If I caught eyes, I'd start laughing. I would. Go back and watch it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Look, I'm not making fun of her. But it is funny on the intro. Because what a lot of wrestlers do, a lot of you may not know this, but when you do your segment or cut a promo or you do anything, I mean, it's not even just wrestling. You could do it in as performance, stand-up, music. They tell you to fixate on something in front of you beyond the people. So, like, if there's, let's say, I don't know, a cabinet, and I'm looking at everybody, and I don't want to get fixated on someone. You know, you're doing stand-up or you're cutting a promo, and you look into the audience, and you see somebody going, trying to make you laugh, you know, you get a little distracted. So what they do is they tell you, look at something, fixate on it, and it looks like you're talking to everybody. But really right now I'm looking at a piece of tape on my wall, you know, so. Oh, Xia Li will be fine. She'll be fine. There's no issues. Natty and Summer Rae catching eyes. Summer Rae was front row. And, you know, they have a little social media feud going on online. And you remember what I said earlier about Summer Rae. Totally unnecessary, what I saw yesterday. I mean, show some class. Summer Rae, you're not a legend. Man, if I was like an absolute dirtbag... and I was her, I would go back to like half of these people and be like, and guess what? You're not fuck material. You know, you're not even like, you know, oh, it was just so brutal to see like people like enjoying putting someone down, rubbing it in her face. You know, stay classy, everybody. Stay classy. Kofi Kingston beating Madcap Moss. Gets his win back, everyone. No worries. Big E shows up, you know, trying to neutralize Baron Corbin from getting involved. Just temporary, everyone. Just temporary. Then we get the beginning of the show and the end of the show. The only two parts of the show that really mattered for yours truly. Show opens up. Usos celebrating Roman Reigns. What was it 506 days? 508 days as champion. Roman comes down. Acknowledge me. Telling the crowd, acknowledge me, Nashville. And he's interrupted by Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, little trash talking to Roman Reigns that he should celebrate because his title reign is ending soon. And he recalls how Roman Reigns, not responsible for his own success, talking about how he always needs the Usos. I did laugh at that because I kept thinking about the Authority, J&J Security. You know, it is, when you really think about it, it does mirror each other. So, then he tries to stir it up a little bit with the Usos and Roman Reigns, that the Usos should be celebrated as longest reigning SmackDown Tag Team Champions, that the Usos hold up Roman Reigns just like he and Mox held up Roman Reigns in the Shield, kept him up. Roman Reigns calls Seth Rollins' little brother and he says, did John Cena write this for you? And then basically what ends up happening is they do a little stipulation. Seth Rollins proposes a match. Him and a partner versus the Usos. And if Rollins and his partner wins, the Usos are barred at ringside for the Royal Rumble. So, before Roman Reigns could really say anything, the Usos accept. Roman Reigns is not pleased. But they also point out that, you know, Seth Rollins is not really well-liked. So you got to find a partner. Kevin Owens' music hits. Owens says, I like him. So we're going to get the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And if Seth Rollins and Owens win, then at the Royal Rumble, the Usos are barred. If the Usos win, Seth Rollins loses his championship opportunity. I hated that part of the stipulation because you know they're not changing it a week before the Royal Rumble. So what ends up happening? What ends up happening? They have a fun match, excellent match. Roman Reigns hits the ring for the disqualification. Rollins is kind of happy at it. Ah, you screwed up. Now the Usos are barred at ringside for the Royal Rumble. And that's how we go off the air. Look, I threw a scenario out there that I'm sticking with. I think there is a good possibility that Brock Lesnar loses the WWE Championship to Bobby Lashley. Big E wins the Royal Rumble. Big E takes on Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar, and I brought this up, do not discount this. If you didn't hear me say this on other shows in the past, remember what this comment. Outside of The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar is the second most wanted WWE talent for Saudi Arabia. They freaking fawn over Brock Lesnar. So you best damn believe Brock Lesnar is going to be in a very high-valued match in Saudi Arabia. And if Brock Lesnar loses the WWE Championship to Bobby Lashley, then what will happen is Brock Lesnar will win the Elimination Chamber, challenge Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Now, since the Usos are barred at ringside for Roman Reigns' match, Now, I almost think the Usos will show up in Brock Lesnar's match and likely cause Brock Lesnar the championship. And basically, that is going to piss off Brock Lesnar even further. And Brock Lesnar winning that Elimination Chamber and a monster unleashed, that is going to piss off Roman Reigns even more. That's the scenario I think is going to happen. Because there was never going to be title versus title. I mean, just Captain Obvious. If there would, everybody that was reporting possible title versus title, that was asinine. Because then explain to me what happens to the Royal Rumble winner. What happens to the Elimination Chamber winner? You're not going to do three Charlotte storylines where if Charlotte wins the Royal Rumble, she could choose anyone else and take their title too. You're not going to have Brock Lesnar go into the Royal Rumble as WWE champion, the Royal Rumble match. He's not in the Royal Rumble match. So the person who wins the Royal Rumble, what are they going to do? I want Bron Breakker. No. I'm Big E. You know what? I want to go for the tag titles. Yeah. Me and Kofi. Usos. Again. No, it's stupid. It was never going to be title versus title. And as Mish and I talked about Monday, Bobby Lashley getting this win over Brock Lesnar is essential to cement Bobby Lashley as one of the best wrestlers of this era. I mean, you have to have this distinctive, decisive wins in your career. Sure, this is all entertainment. But when you look back on it, every other promo, when necessary, I beat Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. That is something. Why do you think Drew McIntyre beat Bill Goldberg? He said it in five promos after. I beat Bill Goldberg. So, Bobby Lashley getting this win off of Brock. And Brock, it's business. They say to Brock, Brock, you got to lose the championship. No problem. Pay me, bitch. Pay me. Remember that scenario. Because we've been talking about it for a while. So, that was your SmackDown. Fun show. You know, I mean, the funny thing about SmackDown is, outside of the fact that the Royal Rumble is coming up next week, if you watched it a month ago and you watched it yesterday, you really haven't missed all that much. You might have just said, what happened to Xavier? I mean, honestly, that's probably all you would have said. What happened to Xavier? That's the big difference with WWE and AEW. Now you're seeing why also so many releases were made. I'm not justifying it. I don't agree with a lot of the recent releases. Some wrestlers definitely should have been kept. But now you're seeing it week after week. They do rematch and rematch and rematch and rematch and Usos and Roman and Sheamus. It sounds like a Christmas song. On Sheamus, on Ricochet, on Madcap, on Corbin, on Reigns, on Usos. I mean, that's what it is. It's like watching a weekly TV series, CSI, comedy stuff, whatever. If you watch a certain episodic TV series, if you look week after week after week after week, there is a group of people that are the main characters that are featured. And then the following week, you may get a couple of different characters because the story is a little bit different. And they're secondary. WWE is realizing we only need a couple of secondary. This week is Los Lotharios. Next week it'd be whatever. Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what's going on. They realize that we don't need 60 people. Look, at the beginning of this show, I read you 42 NXT wrestlers. of the 42, about 38 of them, their value has gone up in the last 4 months. You look at SmackDown. Do you need 38 people every week? No. You only need, what, 20 to 25? And you rotate a couple. This week, well, it used to be Toni Storm. Now it's Aaliyah. Next week it's Xia Li. The week after it could be this. Natty. Next week it'll be this. That's what they're realizing. We don't need 60 people. NXT, you got 40-something, and there's actually more than that. They got about 60 or 70 people. But not everybody's going to stick. So what'll happen? 10 to 15 will end up getting released. And then some people in the developmental center will start getting a little TV time. They'll see if it works. If some of them work, then they'll get a little more TV time. Some that don't work, okay, you know, we tried. Bye. It's not rocket science. So, all right. Rest in peace, Louis Anderson, 68 years old. Rest in peace, Meatloaf, 74 years old. Meatloaf was dealing with some very bad problems with COVID, battling COVID. Again, you know, look, Meatloaf, heavier guy, medical issues. COVID is deadly. For a lot of people with secondary health conditions, it could be the kiss of death. And I think I read somewhere that Meatloaf had said, look, if I die, I die. What am I going to do? He died. But I forgot he was a guest host for Raw about 10 or so years ago. Completely forgot about it. When I saw WWE paying tribute, I was like, all right, you know, I could see paying tribute, but I completely forgot he was a guest host. Louis Anderson, you know, for any of you out there that's not a member of our Patreon, Louis Anderson recently, you know, we did a favorite comedian tournament, and Louis Anderson was one, I think he got down to the Sweet 16 of the in the tournament. And we, you know, shared some memories of Louis Anderson. I mean, he was still alive, but Louis Anderson was one of those comedians back in the day. He was just a dick. He was a dick, but hilarious dick. And Louis Anderson, I mean, there's just something about him that just made you. I still remember the Louis Anderson cartoon. I mean, if you would have said to me back then that Louis Anderson would have had a cartoon, I would have said, yeah. So, but you know, in latter years, he had a lot of health problems. And there's a clip floating around of Louis Anderson being interviewed a couple of years ago, and it really does hit your strings. You know, look, it's sad to see anybody go sick. Well, he was 68, 68 is still very young, you know, 74 is young. I mean, you know, I think of my own parents and their approach in that age. I mean, it's just, you know, you don't ever want to see anybody go, especially under those circumstances. So I definitely wanted to make my, look, I always loved Louis Anderson's role in Coming to America, right? Yeah, he was the one of the workers in McDonald's. Louis Anderson, look, if you said to me, Louis Anderson or Meatloaf, I always like Louis Anderson more. Meatloaf, you know, I think it was problem was, like, I worked in a grocery store when I was a kid, and you would hear two out of three ain't bad. You would hear that shit over and over and over again. My God, when they did that song, what's that song where they use Phil Rizzuto? You know, he's hitting third. Holy cow, I think he's going to make it. That was a fun song. When I hung out with my friends when we were kids, everybody would do that song. And then what was cool is you would have like teenage girls and teenage guys. They would go back and forth. What was the name of that song again? And they would go back and forth. You'd have a girl, let me sleep all day. No, you're not going to sleep. You know, clean my house. I'm adding extra lyrics. Nobody knows the name of the song? Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Thank you, John Hinosa. But, you know, me being a New Yorker, growing up a Yankee fan until Reggie got traded to the, well, he signed with the California Angels. He didn't get traded. You know, my God, you know, I remember when Phil Rizzuto did the commentary for that. He had no idea that he was talking about sex. He had no idea. When he did that commentary, he's on second. He's trying to go for third. Holy cow, I think he's going to make it. He had no idea. He was talking about somebody who was about to get laid. So that song got very annoying when I got older. So, but still, crazy as talented. Look, my friend Mike Frigerio. Remember him? Passed away last year. I don't know if I have his picture handy. I pay tribute to him, and I know pretty much everybody out there didn't. He probably, you know, because he's not a household name in wrestling, but he was an agent and represented a lot of the lucha stars that were working in the United States. He represented La Parca. He represented Damian, Halloween 666, Hoovy, Psychosis. When I got Damian and Halloween in USA Pro Wrestling and Mass Maniac put him up against Sabu and Jimmy Snuka as a fantasy match. I've showed you before, the Growing Up Don Tony. They were featured in the magazines in Mexico. You know, and I was so freaking excited. I'm like, Mass Maniac, we got in Mexico. Mexico's got all the coverage. And the Mass Maniac's like, you know, are we making money off of it? And I give him credit because everything was about money. But it was Mike Frigerio that got them in the magazines. He was the one. Oh, I don't think I have his picture handy. I have it saved on my other computer. I would have loved to show a picture of him again. But the reason why I wanted to show you is if you look at him, he looks just like Meatloaf. Maybe if I, is it these pictures? Hopefully I find it. I see some others. Yeah, I don't want to show those. But let me see if it's over here. If it's not, I'll show you next time. But I always called him Meatloaf as a nickname because, and I called him Mongo also. Mongo was a nickname, but he looked a lot like Meatloaf. If you check out the video from this past week, I was on Julian's podcast, and we were watching XPW death matches. If you look at the death match one in Philly, I do actually mention on that video, oh, there's Mongo, Mike, sitting in the front row. If you look at him, he looked exactly like how Meatloaf used to look. Can't believe I don't have a picture here. I know it's going to happen. As soon as the show is over, it's going to pop up on my feed. I'm going to just look one more time. There's New Jack. There's a few others. So, oh, wait. Here's... Wow, so many people died last year. I mean, we've talked about it, but my God, just looking at all these rest in peace, Jesus. Unbelievable. Well, I'm on the last batch, everybody. No worries. I'm just about done. I would have liked to have showed you, but it looks like it ain't happening today. And you know what happens? Right before I say, oh, all right, forget it, it'll pop up. You know how it always works. All right, I'm on the last batch. This is it. Yeah, it ain't popping up. It happens. But he looked exactly like Meatloaf. He had the same long hair. He was a big guy. Looked just like Meatloaf. But, yeah, people bringing up Rocky Horror pictures. So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know. But rest in peace to both of them. Rest in peace. A lot of buzz about Tommaso Ciampa, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight. I think the only reason, this is nothing against Roderick Strong, I think the only reason why Roderick Strong's name is popping up is because he worked Dark Match. I think that's the only reason why. I have not heard much about Roderick Strong going to the main roster. Could he be in the Royal Rumble? Sure. But I think people are only name-dropping him right now is because he's been doing a little dark match, too. But I'm curious how you all feel. If Strong is going to be promoted to the main roster, where do you think Ciampa, Dunn, LA Knight, and Roderick Strong, what brands should they go to? I will tell you right now. LA Knight has to go to SmackDown. It is baked in, handed on a silver platter. Friday night, SmackDown. But Knight is obviously, they'll add a K. Friday night, SmackDown. They got to do it. I know it sounds tiny and trivial. You could do it on Raw also. Monday night, Raw. But to me, LA Knight is more... I don't know how you feel about this. For me, LA Knight is more a wrestler, promo cutter, that would fit the younger Fox TV audience that's on SmackDown because it is, you know, it's not cable. The LA Knight fits that SmackDown mantra more than he fits on Monday Night Raw. I don't know how you feel about that, but I ask you, Friday night SmackDown or Monday night Raw? Which one is more appealing? I personally think SmackDown is perfect. Because you think of SmackDown, when The Rock used to cut promos, it's The Rock show. I could see LA Knight taking ownership, quote unquote, Friday night SmackDown. I'd like to see Ciampa also on SmackDown because I think of some of the match opportunities, but I feel Pete Dunne might be better suited for SmackDown. I could see Dunne and Cesaro, Dunne and Sheamus. Yes, I could see Dunne and AJ Styles. There's wrestlers on Raw as well. I think Ciampa might be better suited for Monday Night Raw. Roderick Strong, I'm there's nothing against the guy. I don't know. I mean, WWE is character driven, and Roderick Strong is very, very dry in the character department. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Roderick Strong would fit beautifully in NWA. He'd fit beautifully in Impact Wrestling. He'd fit great in AEW for obvious reasons. But for WWE on the main roster, he's going to be as bland as a glass of water. So, again, even though people are mentioning Roderick Strong, I have nothing against the guy. But I look at Raw or SmackDown, I'm like, what is he going to do? I mean, unless they really repackage this guy. But even if you do that, how do you repackage him? So, I don't know what they're going to do with Roderick Strong. Pete Dunne and Ridge Holland, yeah, I could see that, sure. So, two more topics and we're going to get out of here. I know we're about 9 minutes over, but that's all good. Two more topics. One has to do with Bully Ray. One has to do with Tammy. Two quick plugs. If you're around tomorrow night, Sunday night, 8:05. To sit down with yours truly. We are going to do calls tomorrow. More and more you are sending feedback in and you like the idea of rotating. Last week we did live chat. This week we do live calls. Next week we do live chat. The week after we do live calls. The only problem with next week is, we can do next week because the Royal Rumble is on Saturday next week. So next Saturday, no episode of the Don Tony Show. Sunday will be a joint episode of the Don Tony Show and the sit down. So next Saturday, I'll be here after the Royal Rumble ends. We'll do a predictions contest on YouTube for our channel members. We'll do one on Patreon. You know, for some of you out there on Patreon, again, not trying to be a jerk. You know, these contests are mine. They come out of my own pocket, which is not a big deal. But, you know, it's not part of being a member. You know, we've done it for a long time. I'm not taking it away, but, you know, I don't need the DMs from, you know, there's a handful. Oh, no predictions contest. You know, I mean, I don't, when people start expecting it, that's when you realize, okay, maybe you got to pull it away, which I'm not. So, also, if you're not aware of it yet, yeah, Don Tony shirts celebrating 25 years of yours truly. They are now on sale. I actually got a sample sent to me, the iPhone case, but it's inside, so I'm not going to grab it now. There's pillows, stuff. I only plug it for 10 seconds. So you want to go check it out. All right. Two things to close this out. Bully Ray. I talked about it on Thursday quite a bit. There was backlash on Thursday, but it has taken a life of its own. Bully Ray, when talking about John Moxley's promo on AEW Dynamite, which he enjoyed, he loved it, and he's very happy for John Moxley returning. I'm not defending Bully Ray. I want to make that clear. If anybody didn't check out Thursday's show, I'm not defending the guy. He felt that John Moxley should have said, "I apologize, I'm sorry to the AEW fans that he disappointed." I wholeheartedly disagreed. I felt that John Moxley did apologize by admitting to the world that he is imperfect, that he has demons, that he struggles, we all struggle, that we have scars. Some are visible, some aren't visible. You know, that is something that is so inspirational. John Moxley inspired millions of fans from that. It may not apply to a lot of people that are tuned in right now. Oh, I don't have a drinking problem. I don't have a drug problem. I don't have vices. I don't know anybody that has it. But in the future, you may. In the future, you may have something that leaves you with a scar. And his words will echo in your mind, and it's going to inspire some people to get through their problems a little bit more. Some people have put it on their wallpaper and reminded of it every day when they're battling issues. But Bully Ray felt that he should apologize. For those that did not tune into my Thursday show, I totally disagreed with Bully Ray. I felt that Moxley did apologize. You don't have to say the words, "I'm sorry, I apologize," but I thought Bully Ray was way off on that one. I had no idea over the last 48 hours how much this blew up. From Renee to Paige, they're probably the two that are the most notable. I mean, other wrestlers as well, but Renee is the one because she's obviously with John Moxley, their family. They just flat out are appalled. The internet wrestling community, appalled. I think that would probably be a good word to call it. Now, I'm not going to use this, like I said on Thursday, I'm not going to use this as a gateway to shit on Bully Ray. He has a right to his opinion. It's way off, but he has a right to his opinion. And I leave it at that. I totally disagree with what he said, but I expected, obviously, some people to get angry, especially Renee. But the level of hate towards this guy for saying that, I don't know what his follow-up is going to be. I mean, I'm not going to tell him what to say or put words in his mouth. If I was him, I think he should be the one apologizing now. I think he needs to apologize to John Moxley to say, "Look, you know, I was wrong, or I didn't, you know, after thinking about it, you know, and I'm sorry for, you know, whatever. I don't know how you deal with that. But the thing is, you know, this the crazy amounts of people are still going to tune into Busted Open. They're still going to follow him on social media. You know, I've watched, I don't follow people that I hate. All right. There's some people that, you know, rub me the wrong way a little bit. There's some that, you know, not on the greatest of terms, but people I absolutely despise. I have no interest in what they say or do, and I don't need to see it either. But the thing I found interesting was every person that I do follow that said some really, really like poignant words, that's probably the best way to put it, poignant words towards Bully Ray, I clicked on their profile, and I swear to you, 9 out of every 10 follow Bully Ray. If he's that appalling to you, why do you follow the guy? And don't give me, oh, I see what he says. Trust me, if he says something outrageous, we're going to know about it within moments, whether you follow him or not. So he was definitely wrong. He's definitely wrong for what he said. He has a right to his opinion, like I said before, but it is definitely the wrong opinion. So, one last thing before we get out of here. Tammy Sitch is out of jail. I think the charges may, in fact, have been dropped. We talked about that last week. Don't be surprised if the charges are dropped. And I'm going to be honest with you. I asked a few people that are close with her. I said, you know, were the charges dropped? And I've talked to two. And they both said they don't know, that she has been very, very quiet about this. I did my search, research, you know, through the courts and through everything, and I can't find these charges. I can't find a court date. I can't find anything that shows that the charges are still open. So it's possible that they were dropped. But I will say this, and I mentioned this Thursday, so some of it might be a little bit repetitive. I had two conversations with two people in the last 2 days. One is a very close friend of Tammy's. The other is Johnny Candido, the brother of Chris Candido. And I'm sorry I always bring this up, but I bring it up to make a point. You know, when Chris Candido passed away, Johnny Candido did that beautiful documentary on Chris. He wanted me to be on that documentary and to tell some personal stories of Chris directly, stories that I am involved in. And I declined. And he said, why? You know, you were friends with Chris. You know, why? I said, because anybody that tunes into that documentary, they want to see famous people. They don't want to see me. I said, you know, I don't want to do it. I regret it. I should have went on there. There's some stories that I should have had Johnny on last year, and I didn't. And it's my fault, because at the time I was still new with the video and I don't really do interviews, and I wanted everything to be set up perfectly. I should have just had casual conversation, telling stories and this and that, but I didn't know how far I can go, and I didn't want to make it into an uncomfortable situation. So I just kept putting it off, and now we're a year later. I will have Johnny on soon, I promise. And I know he'll come on. And it's not just for Chris Candido. It's also Balls Mahoney, a little bit of Axel Rotten. There's some other things that we want to talk about. But both conversations in the last 48 hours had to do with Tammy. And I'm going to say this in summarize. I will tell you that nobody wants to throw anybody under the bus. I don't think any of us should throw somebody under the bus who is having some serious problems, who is involved in a toxic relationship. And again, there's some of you out there that have no idea what a toxic relationship is. There's bad breakups, and then there's toxic. Toxic is just a whole different element. Toxic relationships usually end up on like Forensic Files episodes with tragedies or some of these crime channels on YouTube. Toxic leads to crazy shit. And it's leading that way with Tammy. Now, I'll say this just in I am nothing to Tammy Sitch. I met her a bunch of times, you know, a little friendly with the XPW stuff, picking her up at the airport, you know, hotel, you know, other things, raised some money when Chris passed. You know, I mean, it's no secret. I, through my website, I had given her around $3,000, which she did put to the right use. I got holiday cards from Tammy. The Tammy Sitch that I always interacted with was always sweet, nice. And when you hear stories over the years from various people, you know, you can't help but you're like, doesn't make sense. Don't see it. Never got personal with her. So I'm not even going to claim that I do. But in the last couple of years, especially with her girlfriends that I have talked to privately, they are very, very, very worried for her because she keeps getting herself in jail, arrested, in these situations. And, you know, she's a Hall of Famer. She, beautiful, you know, getting older. And, you know, there's a big void. And now you have the incident where she threatens to kill her boyfriend with a pair of scissors. And the thing is that it gets to a point where there's a lot of people out there that are like, look, I just can't keep defending her. And nobody that I've talked to wants to kick someone while they're down. But I will say this. The more you talk, the more you hear about other things, and you hear about very, very, very raw incidents, it gets harder and harder and harder to defend someone. And again, I'm nothing. You know, I'm just regular guy giving an opinion. There's no connection with her whatsoever. But I have always tried to look at it like, look, you know, some people when they fall really, really hard. And, you know, you got to hope that they help themselves up. You want to be supportive. You hope this isn't that. All the interaction that I ever had was always good. So I don't want to see this turn into a tragedy. I don't want to see, you know, her injure herself, injure someone else. You know, we've seen some horrible tragedy last year and the year before since I've been on YouTube. I don't want to see another one. But it's to the point now when you realize, and I bring up the OnlyFans, you realize how much money that is made, how much attention there is, and you still, this quick, to not care about throwing any of that away because there is no other income, there is no other job, there's no, you know what I mean? To throw that all away because of a toxic relationship, or as someone pointed it out to me, that, you know, alcohol is a time bomb. And when you give certain people alcohol, that is instant disaster, instant time bomb. And I will just say that, you know, I, even though I'm irrelevant, it's getting harder and harder for people to keep, you know, making excuses for her, keep defending her. And a lot of people are very, very worried that this ultimately is going to turn into a tragedy. Although my opinion is worthless, I think that the only way that this may get resolved is to seek some medical help. I think, and I'm no doctor, I'm not making a diagnosis, but it seems like there's a lot of depression there. It seems like there is this huge void. I don't know if it's just because of Chris Candido's passing, because you hear stories before his passing, after his passing, you hear some wild stuff, and I'm not going to ever put that stuff public. But there's something seriously wrong. Going to jail has not resolved it. Losing giant chunks of income has not resolved it. Being involved in a relationship has not resolved it. Being involved with a relationship with someone who is a good guy has not resolved it. It just keeps falling into the same roadway. You know that this roadway is nothing but bumpy and trouble, and you start on this roadway, but somehow you always end up back here. So no matter what has happened, jail, good relationship, bad relationship, there's always something that's leading back to this path. So I, for all we know, maybe she did seek counseling. Maybe there's a medicinal way to address this. I don't know. It's not my field. But I will tell you that there's a lot of people, including me, that are worried that this is going to turn into a tragedy. That's why I can't make fun of it. I can't joke. I can't find humor about it. I can't LOL it. I can't crack jokes on the show. Because if it does turn into, it's already in a lot of ways sort of a tragedy. But if it turns into, I don't want to say the words, but it turns into a tragedy where, you know, there's no, an irreparable tragedy. I think that's the way to put it. Irreparable. All he can do is just say, what a horrible story to end up the way it did. So, you know, I'm not going to keep talking about her. You know, if something does happen in the future, we'll report it. But as far as that human side of it, I'm just finding it harder and harder to try to defend that. You know, that's really it. So, you know, it sucks. It sucks. I mean, I know we have some serious convo on these shows. You know, I always try to make a little time because I know, you know, it's not always about, oh, WWE in Nashville, Tennessee, the results are Tennessee Ciampa over Roderick Strong in a dark match. Or there's a... No, we try to get into real life serious situations. And, you know, this is one where, you know, It's sad. It sucks. I'm sure there's a lot of gossip that could be made out of it, but man, I don't know how this turns into a good ending. I don't know how it turns into, you know, there's a lot of people that care about her. There's a lot of people that dislike her too, personally. So Sean, DDP, yoga, anything, I don't think that's the answers. I mean, it's just, there's something going on. And there's, look, Johnny Candido, you have my word, you have my bond. A lot of things we've talked about in the past, the last couple of days, last year, the year before, I would never ever say any of this stuff publicly, but there's enough there that, trust me, yoga, physical, mental, that's not the answer. I mean, a lot of the stuff that, you know, that I'm aware of, goes back decades. And out of respect to everybody, including Tommy, I don't make that stuff public. But it goes back decades. This is not just, you know, the last dozen or so years, you know, 15 years. It's not. It goes way before that. So, There's a lot of people that care about it. Like I said, I hope this turns into a great conclusion, you know, but really, really bad. So I know people are bringing up Scott Hall. Trust me, Scott Hall's personal life is not the same as Tammy's. It's not the same as yours. It's not the same as mine. Just because some of the vices are similar doesn't mean that, you know, they all got to the same destination the same way. You know, maybe they ended up on the same bad road, but maybe Tammy drove and Scott flew. You know, it's just because they're similar vices, what caused the vices is totally different. So everybody means well. I mean, all the comments I'm seeing, you know, everybody means well. And I see some people out there, you know, I don't want to you know, all of you could read the chat room. Some people are being very, very raw and honest with their own issues. And I know that makes people feel uncomfortable sometimes. There was someone in the comments and someone on email last week, they're like, please don't talk about, you know, your addiction or this and that. And, you know, I try, there's no happy medium. You know what I mean? It's sometimes this is therapy for a lot of people. Just having someone who could relate and kind of like be the voice, that's therapy for some people. For some people, it's so raw and it's so sensitive. Whether they had a problem or they knew someone or they love someone that had the problem, you know, it's, this is not, they don't come here for this. So there's, you got to try to find the right balance. But for me, it's getting harder and harder to, you know, just root and hope for the best. So, all right, I'm going to get out of here. We ended up doing 2 hours, which is fine. We got into quite a few topics. We covered them all, which is great. So tomorrow night at 8:05, I'm going to come right back in this seat, turn the traffic light on, and I will sit back, have a fully charged phone, and I will be taking calls all throughout the night. Tomorrow, blank sheet of paper, whatever you want to talk about, doesn't always have to be wrestling. You know, just like I said, just keep the topics where it's easy listening. I don't have to research crazy shit and not something that takes a half an hour to discuss. You know, you can bring up anything you want, but, you know, there's a lot of people that do try to call in. And I love, the more I think about it, I love the idea of rotating every other week. This week is calls, next week is chat. The week after is calls, and do it like that. If something major happens in the world of pro wrestling that we should take calls for 2 weeks in a row, of course we'll do it. You know, I can do whatever I want here. But I like the rotate. This way at least people know what the format will be going into it, because Sunday night, empty slate, blank slate, whatever you talk about, that's the topics at hand. So, all right, everybody. Thank you, as always, for hanging out. Hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay safe. You know, we're getting some better news with the COVID. You know, again, you follow South Africa, it's starting to happen. And I'm hoping by March, this will be the beginning. It's going to be an endemic by March. I am very, very confident for that. And guess what? You and I that have paid very close attention to COVID for the last 2 years, I mean, pretty much what we've discussed has ended up being spot on. Not because we're smart. It's because we've been paying attention. So, you know, just be careful. Just be careful. You can look at your surroundings and you're smart enough and you're old enough to know, you know, if you feel uncomfortable with a situation, throw a freaking mask on, get out of here. I just bought myself a brand new mask today from Honeywell. That's really, really cool, nice designs and everything. And I showed it to a friend of mine. He's like, you got 3 shots. You're going to get your 4th. What are you getting? What do you need it for? If you get COVID, you're going to have no. I'm like, look, man, I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it, period. I don't want to get it. So let's not jinx it. I haven't gotten COVID yet, but it could always happen. So be well, everybody. Enjoy and have a nice Saturday night. And I hope to see you tomorrow night at 8:05. So thank you for your support. On the way out, if you enjoyed the show, believe me, It really means a lot. Hit that like button. The more that is done, the more it tells YouTube, hey, we like, you know, people like this show. Let me refer it to some other people. And you can only imagine when they refer it to the haters. Can you imagine it showing up on their feed? The hell is this? Why am I being recommended this? So if you don't like the haters, and look, a little tribute to John Candy tonight. I know it was a little bit cut off. Let me see. Can I show it on this camera? Yeah, maybe we could do it on this camera. Look, I'm a mug. I'm my own best friend. Much love. John Candy, one of the greatest comedians of all time, taken from us way too soon. I am a huge John Candy fan. My God, and Stripes. His Rolling Stripes. Spaceballs is my favorite. Spaceballs. I'm a mug. I'm my own best friend. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas.
Hold on.
You would always hear from...
Overtime! Overtime! We got overtime. I literally just got a DM. All right, we got overtime. All right, you might want to let your friends know. You might want to let your friends know. We ain't done yet. Oh, shit. I feel bad. We might. You know what? You know what? We'll save it for tomorrow. We'll save it for tomorrow. I forgot to play you the worst wrestling discussion that I ever had in the 25 years of doing this stuff. I'll share it tomorrow night. I'm sorry for forgetting, but we'll do it tomorrow night. It's brutal. It is brutal. And honestly, I want the whole audience to check it out. And I know we had half the audience already disconnect. So tomorrow night, we will put that aside for 24. We'll let it simmer. I want to make this clear. What I do share, no way, shape, or form am I throwing my former co-host under the bus. It's not anything. It's just... the conversation was so horrible that it was just, I remember when it went down and everybody was like, that was fucking awful. It was brutal. And it'll be worth the 24 hours of suspense. So tomorrow night, we will share it. I won't forget too. Night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.